Welcome to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yeo's, your host. Thank you for joining us for our first of 2 hours on this Tuesday. Support for WEAA is provided by ADT. More information available at ADT.com. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we will continue our series of conversations about the Baltimore ceasefire, the aftermath of it, because quite frankly, the movement is not limited to the weekend that just passed. But we'll talk to some young people. We'll get their specific perspective of millennials as far as the ceasefire and the ongoing movement is concerned. That's coming up in the second hour of the show. Also, our friend Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival is back to talk about the latest film at the Parkway, Free Thursday Films, The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution. I believe that's the Stanley Nelson documentary. Looking forward to our conversations with Jed Dietz, as always. That's all coming up in the second hour of the show. A little bit later, in this first hour, we're going to open the phone lines. It has been eight full months since Catherine Pugh, the current mayor of Baltimore, has taken office. She's beginning her ninth month. The end of eight months happened on August 6th. We want to open the phone lines and ask a simple question. What do you think about the job that Mayor Pugh has done so far? The bottom line, I think, or one of the main narratives of the Pugh administration is what she inherited. I think that that's a fair statement and a fair narrative to put forward before you begin to assess what she has been able to accomplish in eight full months in office, what she inherited, and the condition the city was in and is in. But we will open the phone lines to the people. We want to definitely know what you all think. We'll open the phone lines at 530-419-8888. 410-319-8888 is the number. But before we get to the phone lines, we go to journalist Tiffany Guignard. She is the managing editor of Baltimore Urban Spectrum. Tiffany, welcome to First Edition. Welcome back to First Edition. It's not like you've been here a few times.
Yeah, pretty much. It's good to be back. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
It's good to have you. Before we begin the interview, I want to let people know to make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 889. And don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yeos. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I will share with the people unless you don't want me to. And, of course, I won't. I want to say hello to Zaire as well, who's in the studio. How's that? First of all, the interview, what I read most of it, and congratulations on getting a one-on-one with the mayor. I don't think I've had one on the air with her. I think before she became mayor, mm-hmm. but not an actual sit down, you know.
Last time I met her, we were preparing for the town hall.
Okay, right,
he
right,
and
right,
Morgan, right. Before she got elected,
the mayoral debate.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, because there are a couple of questions that you asked her that, I think the mayor has always been, and I'll say this, always been very cordial in the times that I have interacted with her, whether it be professionally or even in social environments. But it seemed that some of the questions that you asked, she seemed to push back on firmly. I'll put it that way. What is your overall impression of where she is as far as at being mayor of Baltimore currently after 8 months in the job, starting her ninth month? What do you think?
I think she is buried under the work. And the pushback that I got from her came from the quote that I had recited that morning, quoted that morning, that came from The Sun about the murder rate and how there's clearly no plan in the past 2 years to address the problem. And that really struck a nerve with her.
From their perspective.
From their perspective. Right. And I just was interested in seeing and finding out what she thought about that, because I was just interested in seeing. She's been fighting the media. Most of our mayors have been kind of like fighting the media and inheriting a lot of issues.
Well, I mean, and the point being, obviously, that, you know, this is the third year in a row that we're going to eclipse 300 plus, significantly over 300 murders. We set the record, obviously, in 2015, the year of the uprising, and had been on pace to eclipse that record in 2017. Obviously, and you addressed this in your interview as well, the Department of Justice has come through and issued a scathing indictment, really, of the Baltimore Police Department, of law enforcement in Baltimore. These are two tremendous items that this mayor is inherited. And I think it's fair to say, or rather, I'll say this. I don't know how fair it is to expect there to be an overnight solution, if you will. And people want overnight solutions because people are getting killed and people are suffering and people are struggling. But to that question.
She brought that up.
Yeah. Go ahead. We'll speak to it.
She brought up, and she was very emphatic, that people want overnight change, and that's not going to happen.
Right.
And I kind of admire her just being blunt about it, because we all know that that is a reality. Right. And then it also depends on what you define as change, because I see change happening all around the city. And I think the mayor sees it, too, because she's also in the work. I see her at a lot of events that I go to out in the community just to take Zaire out, or just to see what's happening. I see her.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to know, basically on a community level, how she was calling people to action, given that change can't happen overnight. And she rolled out one of the significant things that she does every 2 weeks. I was actually invited today, after we got off the phone, to attend her call to action meeting, where she meets with 17 to 25 grassroots organizers. I've spoken to some of those organizers who are kind of optimistic about working with her. They're allowed to voice, they're given a floor to voice their opinions on a regular basis, and to kind of check in and to check the temperature on where she is with helping and supporting their efforts. So I got a sense that she has a plan. That's what I got a sense of.
To that point, I have spoken to grassroots organizers, very well-respected grassroots organizers, who have kind of echoed those sentiments, that they are encouraged about working with this mayor. And I think that in and of itself should be encouraging to her. However, you know, there was a pretty significant campaign promise that she made before she became mayor. And while she was running, she promised to support the $15 minimum wage.
Mm.
And she has declined to support that policy as mayor of Baltimore, and there has been tremendous pushback against her because of that. She has outlined some of the reasons for not being able to do it, but the bottom line is, and someone said this to me the other day, she should have just said, look, I can't promise that, you know, before she actually went into office. But she said that she would support it, and she has not. And there are a lot of, even though there are grassroots organizers that may see her as someone who was an ally, there are others who see her, because of that action in particular, as an enemy of people who have for many years, even decades in Baltimore, sought a living wage for people.
And I guess I push back on that. Like, so what do we do there? Do we kind of hang that in the air and hold that against her? Or how do we hold her accountable and still support her? Because the one thing that I do see is that I haven't seen with any other mayors, and why I was never even pressed to meet any of them, is her willingness to be out there and to be among the people. And I'm not saying that all the answers are there with her presence, but I think that says a lot. Because I was just truly offended by the last mayor's remarks as a teacher, as a student, and as someone who really understands the complexities of our community. And to me, as a citizen, that's a big thing to actually see her out among the people in an encouraging way.
You're speaking about the last two mayors, obviously.
Just the last one. The last one.
Right. Meaning Stephanie Rollins Blake.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yeo, your host. I'm in the studio with Tiffany Guignard. She is managing editor of Baltimore Urban Spectrum, an online magazine.
Dedicated to coloring Baltimore.
Okay.
And we just want to kind of tell stories that aren't told, and that's it.
Well, you've been interested in telling those stories for several years when I met you when you were 19 years old, 20 years old. And you have been persistent in that quest. How did you come about this scenario, becoming managing editor of Baltimore Urban Spectrum?
I shout out to One God, One Thought Center. I met someone there who passed the opportunity along because he wasn't from Baltimore. A young lady by the name of B. Harris, who is the publisher of the Denver Urban Spectrum, a 30-year publication. And she wanted to expand her brand to Baltimore. And the opportunity was literally just passed in my lap. And I took it because, like you said, there are stories, loads of stories that need to be told, and that will probably give some context to even this mayoral conversation that we're having.
Well, and to do that, and that's an important thing to do, is to give context to it. And I think the most important context right now that we are witnessing is the work of community. It seems clear to me that community entities, whether they be individuals or organizations, see the urgency of increasing the work, if you will. And we're going to talk a little bit. We've been talking vigorously for weeks about the Baltimore ceasefire, obviously. I don't know if the mayor, I saw her at one of the events, I believe. Did you get an opportunity to talk to her specifically about the ceasefire or no?
Well, this weekend she held the back to school rally. So a lot of her time was, I guess, split between that and basically, she really talked about the media.
Right.
She talked about the ceasefire in a sense that it, you know, she was supporting it and putting her support behind the organizations that she had been meeting with to pull it off. And she was focused on the back to school rally.
Understood. So you brought up again that she was focused on media. I mean, I wonder, does she, you know, I remember former mayor, former governor William Donald Schaefer gave some advice to Robert Ehrlich years ago and said, never pick a fight, I'm paraphrasing, never pick a fight with someone who has barrels of ink that they can aim at you, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that because she seemed comfortable with not bickering, but pushing back against the Sun in particular, she must think that must be an avenue that is an advantage to her to do so.
I felt that a little bit, and I also felt, in her explanations and in our conversations, I think she's a little bit perturbed about the fact that they haven't come and spoken with her or had a one-on-one with her personally to kind of get what her take is. And so when I read that quote, it just like stroke. I guess it was like, I'm tired of reading all this stuff and nobody came say nothing to me. Why am I reading all of this?
Right.
I'm not saying that was the perfect opportunity to go back in, you know, to go back and forth
right.
about it. We had other things to talk about, but I think that she used that opportunity to speak because she's not quoted for saying anything positive about how she's moving the city forward.
Right.
Through them, anyway.
And to that point, I will say it again. I welcome the opportunity to sit down with the mayor one-on-one. I welcome the opportunity for the mayor to come through to First Edition and talk to us face-to-face. That would be great.
It would be awesome.
Yeah. I just lost my train of thought that quickly. It had something to do with the media. I literally just lost my train of thought. This is the thing. And tomorrow there's going to be the representative, I believe, the organizer or the main organizer for the city for AFRAM. There are a lot of people.
I got that comment on my Facebook page.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Why did she bring that down to
right? There are a lot of people who are literally outraged about the fact that under this mayor, the AFRAM is being bought from 2 days to 1 day, moved from downtown to Druid Hill Park. Did you have
now? Had I known that, as soon as I finished up the interview, somebody posted on under there.
Right.
What's up with AFRAM and Colette? I'm sorry, but I'm gonna follow up with that. I'm gonna ask that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I think that is important. I was kind of messed
right.
up. I missed that.
No, people are definitely uptight about that because for the black community, I guess, and I don't represent everybody in the black community, obviously, but for many of us, AFRAM is kind of like this gem, you know, over the decades that we can take our time at just a couple of days during the summer, just one weekend during the summer, and just kind of release and have a good time, and it's just for us, you know. And I think that a lot of people take exception to the fact that just that one weekend now is cut in half, and we're kind of taking it out of the spotlight and moving it, tucking it away. At least this is the perspective of a lot of people, tucking it away in Druid Hill Park.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because now that you mentioned the minimum wage and the AFRAM, I think that those, you know, while politics are necessary, the people still need a place to just be and be able to afford a place to go
right.
and just be.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm gonna keep that in my mind.
When she spoke about law enforcement, did she mention the performance specifically of Commissioner Kevin Davis, the somewhat embattled, I would argue, police commissioner, given the level of scandals that have rocked that department over the last several months?
The tone of that interview, I really believe, was to give, I think it's a fresh publication, and it was an opportunity to kind of really just put out there what she wanted people to know.
Right.
And so what she wanted people to know as far as the police department was concerned is that where the work is happening is getting more black police officers in the neighborhoods. And that was literally the specifics we got with the police department. She felt as though that was one of the biggest issues for public safety for Baltimore.
Okay.
And she felt as though that was where she needed to plug in her, you know, rule number one, where to go at.
That's a really interesting revelation because to say just generally we need more black police officers, I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily agree with that. But we do need more black police officers in neighborhoods. We don't just need black police
in
officers
general,
for the sake
right.
of black police officers. We need police officers, black police officers in black neighborhoods in Baltimore City patrolling, doing community work and providing literally community service. Because you can't be a part of a community if you don't serve that community directly.
And I think that's why, and that was my intention as a citizen and as an editor to place both her interview in there with chiefs. Because that's what the police are doing, even without, you know, mayor and, you know, mayoral intervention. The police department and Chief Russell, I made sure that the that I put that story out there that the police are there without necessary mayoral intervention. So what if we had direct mayoral intervention with that faith-based and community-based initiative that's been headed by Chief for 8 years, well, going on 10 now.
And the sad reality is that Chief Russell's people, his staff, has been shrunken, I believe, that it's been diminished some.
I don't want to hear that.
But it's true. And wow. That I think a lot of people feel is more than unfortunate. But yes, his unit that you speak of has been reduced.
Well, that would be interesting to see if that work there, you know, her work with the DOJ report would be at least reaching out to that division, because they're doing some really good work.
Well, they have
in the community
for several years.
Right.
Give me your just overall impression of, I mean, after 9 months. Well, this is the ninth. This is the beginning of the ninth month. August 6th begins the ninth month. So, what is her frame of mind? I mean, going forward. I mean, what do you think?
I can't really.
I think what I
mostly got from her was a call to the people to get in on the action.
Right.
And again, I'm being invited to the first call to action meeting. So this was just an introduction with Mayor Pugh. And again, I think really this interview with her gave her an opportunity to just put things out there on the table. But the tone of the interview, I really can't call.
But to that point, I think it's important to make it plain that we've said on this show over and over again that they aren't coming to get us. So we have to do the work that we have to do on our own. And that is at the essence of what the ceasefire was really all about. So that lines up with what you just said as far as community has to get involved, because if we're waiting for governance to take, but at the same time, we don't want government working against us either. So
yeah, I get that. And just lastly, just me personally, I see a village keeper. I see a person who outside of this her mayoral work has done some good work for Baltimore in general. I also see she has a challenge ahead of her, because she got to back up what she's saying, and definitely that $15 minimum wage. Is something that I would definitely take to the floor the next time I go. That's pretty much it.
Tiffany Guignard is the managing editor of the Baltimore Urban Spectrum. Young, thank you for coming through. Appreciate your time.
Thanks
for having me. And congratulations on the interview.
All righty.
We're going to take a quick break. And what we do, we're going to open the phone lines, because the lines are already blowing up. We'll get to Tim, Big Al, James, Leo, and Keith in the next segment. If you want, we want to know what you all think. Catherine Pugh has completed 8 months as mayor of Baltimore. She's beginning her ninth month, beginning on August 6th. We want to know, what do you think about the job that she has done as mayor so far? Give us a call. The number is 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. You're listening to First Edition. First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. Opening up the phone lines, 410-319-8888. I just finished talking to Tiffany Guignard, friend of this show and managing editor of Baltimore Urban Spectrum, an online magazine. She just recently sat down days ago with Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh one-on-one. We just finished talking about the substance of that interview and what she learned sitting down and chatting with the mayor. She touched upon several subjects. And the thing that I want to ask our listeners is rather simple. After 8 months, August 6th marked the eighth month, completed month, under the Pugh administration. She is beginning her ninth month as mayor of the city of Baltimore. She has a long record of public service from the Baltimore City Council to the House of Delegates to the Senate in Maryland, and now mayor of Baltimore City. We just want to know simply, what do you think about the job that Catherine Pugh has done so far? Before I open the phone lines, I would just kind of go back to what I said during the interview with Tiffany Guignard. I think that it's fair for people to strongly consider what this mayor has inherited from the previous administration, the issues with the law enforcement community, specifically the Baltimore Police Department, are not her making. There are very legitimate issues that people may have with this mayor. But I mean, people are going to have their say. They're going to have the day, because that's what we do on First Edition. We allow the people to speak. But I just think that we should I don't want to say temper our comments, but keep in consideration that everything that is plaguing Baltimore, much of it has been plaguing the city for decades. That's the last thing I'll say about it. I just want to hear what y'all think now. Let's go to the phones, 410-319-8888. What do you think about the job that Mayor Pugh has done in 8 months, beginning the ninth month on August 6th? Let's go to Big Al, who's been holding the longest. Big Al, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Always a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, sir.
The current mayor, I'm impressed by the fact that she's taken upon herself to do this job, because she's been around from going to Morgan to, like you say, doing all these other things.
Right.
And so she saw Baltimore how it used to be when General Motors and Bethlehem Steel was here, when the whole West Baltimore corridor had manicured lawns and, mm-hmm. and black folks, you know, live like, you know, normal people,
right,
in that area. So she saw how black Baltimore used to be.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard her say, it's in her heart, she would like to see that happen again. For you folks who are on her about this minimum wage, McDonald's is rolling out 2,000-plus kiosks for their stores, and they have a plan to put out 22,000. So if you think forcing a minimum wage is going to create jobs, it'll create jobs if you have educated people who can repair robots and kiosks. Other than that, being a teller, just like being a teller in the bank it has been replaced by ATMs. Being a teller at McDonald's, and probably even to the point of flipping burgers, are going to be replaced by robots. So don't put it laying at her feet.
All right.
Increased the minimum wage to $15 an hour. So your parents here, everybody's going happy. That's a very uneducated approach.
All right, Big Al, we've got to go. We've got to keep moving, man. We got a lot of people who are trying to get into this conversation. 410-319-8888 is the number. What do you think about the job that Mayor Catherine Pugh has done so far in Baltimore? After 8 full months as mayor, August the 6th completed her 8th month. She's beginning her 9th month as mayor. We want to know what you all think. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Tim next in Baltimore. Tim, what do you think?
Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Of course.
Sean, I think she's doing a great job. And I echo your sentiments, but she inherited a whole lot, and so she's working with some old stuff that's been here for years. Mm. But we got to give her credit for going out into the community and stepping in the community. You heard Catherine Pugh say many times that she was born for this job. And I believe that she was. I believe that she's taken it seriously and to the heart. There's nothing I can say. I really can't say anything negative about about her. And as far as the $15 is concerned, I don't think that's a no forever. I think that's a no for now. Let her finish fixing what is broken.
But Tim, let me ask you this, and I just asking a question. Then should she have, basically, people are saying that she promised that she was going to take it on if she became mayor of Baltimore, and she didn't. Now, I get that things change, and things can change within days. Scenarios change, but it just, people were clearly rubbed the wrong way because she made that a campaign promise.
And that's understandable, especially when you live in at $11 an hour in a city that requires you to have a $17 an hour to live. So that's understandable, but the fact of the matter is when you know, this is what you promised, but when you get there into the office or the position and you see what turmoil the whole administration is in, your promise, your promise doesn't seem as important. Was it right the way she said it? No, maybe she should have said not for now, as the young lady said earlier. But once again, I think that we should focus more on helping her do her job so that we can bring it back to the table and talk about the $15 later. But that ceasefire was the first step of community working for the city, with the city, in order to change the city.
Fair enough, fair enough. Tim, thank you for your comment. We appreciate it. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Let's go to James in Baltimore next. James, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
My phone is getting ready to go out to burst the program, but, you know, from smoke right to now, we're still saying the same thing. The mayor and the police commissioner should make it safe. We have senior citizens that can't go in the store. The same people that have been in jail all their life, blocking the entrance, can't get in the store. But what I was at the most, I called her as one person in the trenches with 20 other people and tried to get a meeting with her and the president of the city council.
Okay.
And they didn't even return my call. Now, here's one thing I think is the worst thing that could happen. It'll stop a lot of this whole talking, you know. How can a mayor do an effective job at crime when crime is our number one person and she doesn't have anybody in her office that can talk to the commissioner but her? So, it should be a deputy commissioner. She should have a deputy mayor or somebody equal to talk to him every morning.
So, James, do you think she's doing a good job or no? You think she's doing a good job or no?
No, I don't think so, because we still have the same problem. Right. She got too much work.
All right. James, thank you. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. 410-319-8888 is the number. Mayor Catherine Pugh has just, on August 6th, completed 8 full months as mayor of Baltimore. She's just beginning her 9th month. What do you think about the job she has done so far? Obviously, she inherited some really catastrophic problems as far as the police department is concerned, the scathing Department of Justice report, continued scandals and misconduct within the Baltimore City Police Department, a city grappling with really extreme poverty in many sections of the city, a homelessness problem that has continued to grow in the city. Obviously, the opioid addiction crisis, which some people would suggest is a recent phenomenon. We know the fact is actually we've been grappling with heroin addiction in Baltimore for decades and generations. This is what this mayor has inherited. But we want to know what you all think. What do you think about the job that she has done so far after 8 full months? 410-319-8888 is the number. Let's go to Brother Leo Burrows in Bolton Hill next. Brother Burrows, welcome to the show. What do you think?
Good evening, Brother Sean Yost.
Yes, sir.
And everybody. Well, I don't think she's doing a good job. She's a more than 30-year veteran of the Democratic Party. I mean, she's a professional. She's a very intelligent lady. I've known Catherine Pugh for many years. You know, I'm going to call her Catherine Bloomberg Pugh. You know, don't get mesmerized by $10 million coming from the Big Apple. Let's focus on the crime-fighting plan. And what is your crime-fighting plan? What community organizations have you consulted in shaping your crime-fighting plan? Why aren't you cracking the whip with regard to Kevin Davis? Can he be held accountable? Are you his boss, or is he your boss? The black murder victims in this city, the demographic is what? These are black unemployed males who are involved in the drug trade because they don't have a trade. So What is your economic development apprenticeship programs focused on doing? Why don't we have these mobile units at the same location where we have the open-air drug markets that are thriving in our city?
Okay.
We got to do something about it. And the AFRAM business, you lighted the menorah this past year for the Jewish people. You didn't light, when she lighted the candles, she didn't light the Kwanzaa candles. So again, don't forget from whence you've come as a leader and lead us dramatically and forcefully, because she has the talent and the knowledge. We want her to use the power.
Right.
Black power, advocate schools be reopened, and that the schools, the 115 people fired from the schools, be restored to duty. She's in a position to advocate that, and she damn well better do it.
All right, Brother Bros, thank you. Let's go back to the phones, though. Let's go to Keith White in Northwest Baltimore. Keith, you're on First Edition. How you doing? What do you think?
I'm doing fine, sir. I want to criticize it, but I think you've already prefaced by saying that you think she's unfair because she's doing such a great job, but she's not. I give a fat F.
Okay. I never said she was doing a great job, though.
Oh, no. Well, you said, what'd you say to me?
She inherited a mess, Keith. That's what I said. I didn't say she was doing a great job.
Like what the girl said, she's been in business for 30 years. She's been in that state house for a long time. And this ain't her first ride seeing everything that's going crazy in this city. So, like I said, she don't want to do nothing about the Kevin Davis or this failing school system. She gets a fat F.
Right.
And if she does better, then fine. Y'all have a good day.
All right, Keith. Thank you. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. We are on the phone with the listeners. We've opened the phone lines. The number 410-319-8888. The phones continue to stay lit. We want to know what you think. August 6th marked the 8th complete month of service for Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh. Service as mayor of Baltimore, obviously. She's been a public servant for many years. August 6th begins the 9th month of her administration. We want to think, the question is simple. What do you think about the job that she has done so far in the city of Baltimore, for the people of Baltimore? It's kind of split down the middle so far. Let's go to Clarence next, Clarence in Baltimore. Clarence, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
I think, to use Mr. Burroughs, one of his favorite terms, structural racism, she's the overseer of structural racism, the sacrifice zones, the black community, and that's all she has done. Even if you set aside the murder, the conditions of the subject of murders in this city, you still have the social issues where you had the ability to put something in place, the $15, where on an individual basis, each individual could have uplifted their lives through that increase in wage.
Yeah.
You did not do that. You're sitting there being the overseer, advocating on one side for change, while you be the overseer of structural racism. And the murder thing, that the orders to the police department, that comes out of Candyland. Excuse me, Annapolis. Thank you, Sean.
All right, Clarence. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888 is the number. What do you think about the job that Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh has done? She's been in office 8 full months. The beginning of the 9th month was August 6th, yesterday, as a matter of fact. But we want to know what you all think. 410-319-8888 is the number to call to give your thoughts, your insights on the job that the Pugh administration has done so far. Let's go to Valerie in Baltimore. Valerie, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Val.
I'm inclined to agree with Brother Burroughs. Now, this lady is not new to politics. She served through the city council, city council president, whatever issues we have in Baltimore. She's been sitting in on through all of it. I don't see where, she hasn't done anything to actually stop it. I think she's been a part of creating the issues, because, if you've been in a part of politics, then you've also had the power to come up with ways to create jobs. I mean, this time now she's in power to actually put in place a higher increase in pay for people in Baltimore who are already struggling. But she didn't hesitate to turn on those speed light cameras, to make money, and the red light cameras on the backs of the citizens of Baltimore City. But at the same time, she's denying them the right to make more, have a higher income to make their lives better.
Okay.
So I think socially, she's not in a place, you know, to do a, you know, to make things better. She has never been.
All right.
Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Of course, Valerie. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. 410-319-8888 is the number if you want to make a comment or give your insights into what you believe, how well Catherine Pugh has performed as mayor of Baltimore. She's been in the job for 8 full months on August 6th, which was it yesterday? No, it was not yesterday. It was on Sunday. August 6th marked 8 full months. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. Let's go to Nisha in Baltimore. Nisha, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Hi, Niasha.
Niasha, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think that Professor Kianga Yamada-Taylor from Princeton penned a piece in The Guardian last year that explained that we're living in a time when people are much more concerned about what's just than they are about what's politically expedient. And I just don't think that we've seen a real visionary approach to managing the city from this mayor. I think we see more of the same. And we're not interested in politicians. We're interested in people who can, you know, turn the city around in a, with a win-win kind of mentality. We want public servants. And so I think, you know, we just want more of a public servant, less of a politician, less of a willingness to do the bidding of corporate entities, and just a more visionary kind of exciting approach to managing a large metropolitan area with a lot of big problems. Let's get some win-win. Stop, you know, coming up with plans that all that are all based off of the backs of the most disenfranchised.
Niasha, thank you for your insight. We appreciate it. Well, I mean, I'm going to leave the comments where they are. Very cogent, though. Let's go back to the phones, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Charles in Northwest Baltimore. Charles, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the job that she's doing has not, has, and is not addressing the root cause of the plight of Black people in Baltimore City.
Okay.
It's not dealing with the root cause of the plight of Baltimore City. She simply is a manager trying to manage a situation where Black people are kept in a racially segregated, white people coming to the city and make money. And but by the way, Charles, this is a problem with every one of the mayors. I just want to say this. What we need is someone, when they run for office, run on a radical platform. Let white people know that if you elect, let the people know that if you elect me, you make me mayor, we're going to radically change the relationship between the way Black people in Baltimore City deal with white business. You got to make that a part of your campaign.
Okay.
Because once you get in, you're just going to manage the plantation.
Okay.
And I agree with the rest of the callers, Leo and the rest of them.
All right, Charles, thank you for your call. Appreciate your time. Running out of time. Give us a call, though, 410-319-8888. What do you think about the job that Mayor Catherine Pugh is doing for the city, for the residents of Baltimore? She's been in office 8 full months. That time was marked on August 6th, beginning her 9th month as mayor of Baltimore. 410-319-8888 to express your opinion. Let's go to another Charles in Baltimore. Charles, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Yeah, my comments are in two categories.
Okay.
One has to do with state government and its relationship to Baltimore, and that is, the mayor cannot take control of a police department, which is what she needs to do. The second problem is the public transportation system in Baltimore. Even if there were more jobs, folks will have a very difficult time getting to the jobs. The new bus system thing is awful, and you're really going to feel it when it gets cold. The second category of things is stuff that people in Baltimore have the power and authority to work on. Number one, the schools. Somebody needs to come out with a great vision of what the schools should be doing, a practical vision. Then the mayor kicked everybody in the teeth when she went back on that minimum wage promise.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is this insane speed camera thing. We're going through that again. Mm. So what we got is we have official Baltimore doing battle with everyday Baltimore. Mm. I mean, people are having ridiculous time going back to work, back and forth to work. If you take public transport, it's hard to, you can't time it. If you're driving your car, you got to drive like you're scared of everything because of all these speed cameras. And then the schools, well, where is the vision for the school? Right. There are great people in Baltimore. I mean, we got to get these people out front.
Okay. Charles, thank you for your time. Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it. A few minutes left. Let's get as many calls in as we can. Let's go to Kenneth in Baltimore. Kenneth, what do you think? You're in First Edition.
Hey, Sean.
Hey.
Oh, you're a busy man these days, guy. But anyway, look, I agree with a lot of what the callers are saying, and here's my opinion. It's Baltimore is in such a mess, man, that it's going to take more than 9 months to get this place together.
Okay.
I didn't vote for Catherine Pugh. I don't think she's doing a bad job. Like I said, it's going to take a little while, okay. You know? And one other thing, then I'm going to go. She, I think it was Brother Bros who said she's going to have to use her power over the police department. Don't let those guys run your business. If you say no on a subject, it's no, you know?
All right. Kenneth, thank you for your time. Appreciate your call. Let's go to T in Catonsville next. T, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Hi, Sean. Thank you for having the forum and taking the call.
Of course.
So, my feeling regarding Catherine Pugh, I don't live in the city anymore, but I'm definitely born in rear Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern is, I think that she is a mayor for her constituents, but not all Baltimoreans.
Okay.
I think that, you know, as evident by the resources that are being allocated to my community, the Black community in Baltimore, that it's just crystal clear. I think that business is enjoying the fruits of, you know, what Stephanie Rawlins Blake left, as well as what Catherine Pugh has continued. But like the previous caller had said, with regard to the policing, correcting that, with regard to the school system and getting additional funding and that sort of thing. So I was not a Catherine Pugh supporter or, you know, again, I don't vote in Baltimore. But when I took my nephew to vote for the first time, we were absolutely on board with Sheila. We understood, you know, we felt she understood the culture, understood Baltimore, and loved it. And I think that's lacking in this current administration. Okay. So I'll hang up.
All right. T, thank you for your call. Sounds like a no, essentially. A thoughtful no, but a no. Let's go back to the phones, though. Let's go to Oscar in Baltimore. Oscar, you're on First Edition. What do you think, Oscar?
How you doing, Sean?
I'm all right, man.
First of all, Captain Pugh don't have any authority over the police.
Okay.
The commission. Let's get that straight. I don't know what, Black people, please open your eyes and smell the coffee. I know it's hard to do. Captain Pugh, Stephanie Rawlins Blake, Sheila Dixon, Kurt Smoke, no Black person nowhere in the United States run any city. If you want something done in the city, you got to go to the people who run it. I don't know who they are in Baltimore. I don't know them by name, but you got a lot of people got these conspiracy theories. They got the names. Leo know the names of people. But that's where you got to go get something done. Captain Pugh can't do no more than white people want her to do. Sorry, but that's the way it is, people.
Right.
Have a good one.
All right, Oscar. Thank you. A couple of minutes left. Let's go to Nicole in Towson. Nicole, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Thank you, Sean. I think that your previous callers were right. I have to agree with Diasha, I think is her name.
Diasha.
Mayor Pugh seems to be more for Annapolis and more for the corporate than she does for the community. And people made the mistake of, you know, trying to minimize what a community organizer is about when they were talking about President Barack Obama. And, oh, he was just a community organizer. Well, guess what? He had the people. He did for the people. The people understood that he was actually he had their best interest at heart. And that's what people want, is someone who's actually going to look out for them. And we're not getting that from Catherine Pugh. We feel like she's looking out for, you know, the businesses, because again, you know, that $15 minimum, I'm sorry, minimum wage thing may not be a big deal to you know, people who make more, but for people, everyday people,
absolutely,
it makes a difference.
And absolutely,
when she went back on that, that was evident that she didn't have the best interest of the people. Now, it's not just about that. It is more about looking out for the everyday man and woman.
And, Nicole, you know, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time. One more quick call, real quick. Gina in Northeast Baltimore. Gina, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think it matters who the mayor is. I don't think it matters who the police commissioner is. The only thing for people in Baltimore City is improve the education so that our young people can grow up, they can get decent jobs, and not have to sell drugs because of any educational issues that they've had in the past because the education system failed them.
Okay.
I don't think it's up to the mayor or the police commissioner for that issue. We have to take over the schools. We have to bring the tutors in. We have to start in elementary schools.
All right.
And bring tutors in. So when we see a child that's having difficulty from first or second grade, having difficulty doing their arithmetic or their reading, we have tutors there to help them to get over it. Because I have a friend who's a tutor.
All right.
Fourth grade kids, they hate reading because they can't read.
All right. Gina, thank you for your comment. And I want to thank all of our listeners, the most cogent ones on the air, I believe. We never take you all for granted. We thank you for your time, and we thank you for your energy and insight into these issues. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a group of millennials and get their insights on the Baltimore ceasefire, and as well as talk to our old friend Jed Dietz, the Maryland Film Festival, talking about a new documentary at the Parkway about the Black Panther Party. Stay tuned. You're listening to First Edition.